text that calls to our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our Old Testament lesson for the day in the book of Malachi in the 4th chapter, especially these first words of that chapter, "For behold, the day is coming." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those who fear the Lord are healthy. The wicked, they are lying in hospital beds. Those who fear the Lord are wealthy, never even having to stop to consider money-related concerns. The wicked are broke, scraping the bottom of the bowl just to survive. Those who fear the Lord, they are respected and loved by everyone in town. The wicked are shunned, never finding anyone that wants to hang out with them. Right? Well, maybe sometimes it feels more like this. Those who fear the Lord seem to be filling up the column of prayer requests in the back of the bulletin. The wicked are off enjoying their good health in all sorts of evil ways. Those who fear the Lord struggle just to make it every month, while the wicked's business plans seem to succeed, as they well show in their clothes and their homes and their travel plans. Those who fear the Lord are often looked at as party-pooping good do-gooders who are to be avoided if true fun is to be had. And the wicked, well, they are enjoyed by everyone and welcomed into every gathering, if for no other reason than just to liven up the party a little bit. Right? Well, you see, it seems that the truth is not either of those realities. The truth is more something like this. Those who fear the Lord, and also the wicked, are in hospital rooms, and also are out feeling well. Those who fear the Lord, as well as those who are wicked, are on Forbes' list of the richest people, but also are on the welfare rolls. Those who fear the Lord and the wicked are many times embraced by everyone, and at other times embraced by no one. You see, the truth of the matter is that in our experience, it just doesn't seem that being righteous or wicked is really the factor that changes any of those things. But if that is the reality, is that any more comforting than that feeling that we often get that the wicked are prospering while the faithful are floundering? Is it really more comforting that the faithful and the wicked seem to prosper and flounder alike? Well, it isn't to me. And it probably isn't any more comforting to you either. We're told that the people that were alive when Malachi spoke his prophecy didn't find any comfort in that reality as well. For you see, those of us that are the people of God believe that there should be a noticeable difference between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous should be healthier, wealthier, better life. There should be an easily recognizable, discernible difference, a blessing resting upon God's people. Right? I mean, after all, if you turn on a Christian show on television, or you listen to Christian radio, or you read one of the many popular books in Christian literature, they will darn near guarantee you that if you act in righteous ways, you will be blessed beyond those who do not. And they mean it in very real, seeable kind of ways. And they will tell you if you are wicked, you will be cursed. You see, I think for most of us, our experience tells us differently. Yes, our experience as we walk through life tells us that often it is the faithful and the wicked who both prosper and flounder. And you know what? It's not just our experience. Throughout the entirety of the Scriptures, the people of God look around themselves and have been baffled by what they see. The people of God through time and eternity, it seems, have often noticed that the faithful and the wicked prosper and flounder alike, and upon noticing it, have often demanded answer from God. Yes, it's a common theme that runs throughout the Scriptures. The blessing of God is not nearly as discernible as his people would desire. Right? So then, what is the point of it all? Why are you here today instead of being in bed? Why are you listening to this sermon instead of reading one of the many good self-help books of our day? Why in a few moments will you put offerings into our plate instead of buying something nice for yourself? Why do all of this if your eyes can't see any difference? Why? Because there is a difference. And that difference will be manifested one day. Oh, and let's not leave that up in the air. The difference will be manifested on that day. That last day. You see, when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, the distinction will be as clear as night and day. The wicked will be burned to ashes and will be under the feet of those who fear the Lord. The Son of Righteousness will rise in the healing in his wings and give it to the righteous in order that they might be perfectly healthy. Yes, on that day, the righteous will go leaping out like calves let out of the stall. For the recognition they will have is that they finally have everything that can be considered a true wealth. Yes, on that day, all of the righteous will indeed rejoice together as they see each individual being welcomed in to that grand heavenly party. Yes, on that day, there will be no question as to who the righteous sons and daughters of God are and who the wicked are. The righteous will be the ones who possess everything that their God has promised to them. And the wicked will be the ones underneath their feet. How is that for discernible difference? But what does that truth, which is to come, mean for us who live today? Well, it means that indeed we should live our lives now knowing that outcome. And that being true, we should not grow weary in trusting our Lord, just because at times the outcome of doing so doesn't seem immediately any different than not doing so. It means that we should follow the instructions of our Lord, even when our lives do not give visible evidence of the blessing of God upon those actions. Yes, we are called to live each day, knowing that one day all things will be evident, even if right now it is not all so clear. Yes, we are called to live today as the children of God, because that is who we are and that is who we will be revealed to be on that last day. Yes, we are to live knowing that the last day will come, and when it comes, all things will finally be made clear. And we are to live knowing that that could happen any day. For you see, God told the people through the prophet Malachi that before the end would come, Elijah would appear. And the New Testament scriptures remind us that indeed Elijah did come in the skin of John the Baptist. Jesus adds in our gospel lesson all sorts of other things that would occur before the end. False Christ, nations rising against nations, famine, earthquakes, persecution of Christians, desecration of sacred things. you know what? Each and every one of those things happened just as Jesus promised during the life of the apostles. And they've been happening ever since. Read any decent newspaper, and you will see almost each and every one of these things occurring every week that we live. And Jesus said to us, and says to us again today, when you see these things, know that the return of the Son of Man is near. And so as we see them with our eyes and know that they have happened in the past, we know that the return of the Son of Man is near. And not only do we know it, but we look forward to it. We know that our redemption is near, and there's nothing we want more than that. Yes, we look forward to that day when the children of God will be revealed, where there will no longer be any question as to who are those that have feared the Lord in this world. You know, the Bible tells us that in fact the whole world waits for that day, that it groans with anticipation to see that day. And certainly the Scripture makes clear that more anxious for that day than any of us or anything in this world is God Himself. Because make no doubt about it, God knows what we know. He knows that living in a world where the blessing of God is not always easy to see is rather hard. He knows that it puts tears on our pillows. He knows that it bends our minds into knots. He knows that it plain makes our hearts hurt. No, living in this world where we can't always immediately see the blessing of God is not easy. It takes faith. It takes faith to see beyond the present. It takes faith to reach into the future and grab hold of the promises of God. It takes faith to believe what we cannot see. Dear Christian friends, one day you will no longer need faith, and you will no longer need hope, because on that last day, you won't have to hope for anything anymore, because you'll have it all. Yes, on that last day, every promise of God, the blessing which He has promised for His people, will be evident to you and to me and to everyone throughout the world. So let us then today lay aside those thoughts that we sometimes have that walking with God simply isn't worth it. Let us cast aside our doubts about whether God really is who He says He is. And let us lay aside our inclination to simply give up the fight and just live as the wicked do. Then let us hear from the one who will come to judge the living and the dead, the one appointed for all time to be the judge on the last day. Let us hear from him these words: your sins are forgiven, your doubts removed. You will be with me there on that last day. You will receive everything that you have been promised. You will see with your own eyes the blessing of God. And you will know that there is a difference. You will know it for sure. Right? Right. Amen.